Welcome to the Marcia Miyake Show, where our mission is to share thought-provoking ideas, practical tools, and tangible strategies to uplevel your life, business, and relationships. I'm your host, Marcia Miyake, leadership and emotional intelligence consultant, executive coach, and conscious mama of two. Through solo episodes and interviews with experts in the medical, research, business, and spiritual fields, this show helps you to shift from the illusion that success in one area of your life means failure in another, to the understanding that you truly get to have it all. Let's get started. Welcome back to another episode, my love. I'm so excited to welcome back on the show Marianne, the co-founder of Higher Level Fitness. And I just love everything that this woman and her husband represent. You know, in a time when health is being confused with just staying alive, they promote what it truly means to be healthy, and they are using their voices in a powerful way, and they are really supporting their clients to being truly thriving humans in a time of such uncertainty. So I have so much love and respect for her. So today I invited her on the show because I wanted to talk about weight loss. I know it's such an issue for so many women. Especially as we get older, we find it harder to maintain our ideal body weight. And so as an expert in this area and as someone who really understands the body, I just wanted her to talk into some of the myths that we have around weight loss. And she added a lot of nuggets of wisdom around how our environment is playing into us being able to maintain our ideal body weight and also our body shape. So enjoy this conversation with my soul sister, Marianne. One of the things that I see when I talk to a lot of women is they always have some kind of health goal. And what I see typically is it's around losing weight. It's probably one of the biggest goals that I see, one of the most common goals that I see coming up. And full transparency, it's something that has come up for me in the probably more recent months where, I think there's a lot of our confidence is associated with our body. And if you're used to being smaller or if you grew up smaller or whatever, there's an association with like how you look physically to your level of confidence. And so I know this is totally your space, and I really wanted for you to give us some clarity around, first of all, like, why do you think so many women have this issue with, let's say, weight in general, and what's preventing us from getting to that ideal weight? I know that's a super loaded question, so start wherever you want to start.
Well, it probably starts when we're younger, right? Oftentimes, like you said, you bring up you always bring up the masculine and the feminine energy. So when we're growing up, we have an idea of what a woman should look like. And that can be influenced by our female role models, like our moms, our aunts, our grandmas. It can be influenced by the people that we're around, like the other girls that we're around in school, how they speak about what they look like and what they wear and how their body looks like. And then obviously like social media, magazines, television, and how they present people and how they speak about these women and how they look like and what they're wearing and how they look like in their clothes. All of that starts becoming an influence to how we feel, how we look in our body. And it also influences how confident we are when we do look at ourselves in the mirror, if we do, right? Oftentimes when we do start looking at our bodies, we start judging ourselves, right? It's more so, okay, I don't like my arms here. I don't like the way my body fits in these clothes. Before, I used to be able to fit better in these clothes. So all this talk that's happening in our head is giving us this image. But oftentimes, and like you said, like, what is the image that we want to see of us? We really oftentimes there is none, right? It's like, oh, I want her body, or I want her arms, or I want to look good in this outfit because I saw so-and-so wear it. But it's always external information that's giving us cues as to how we should look like. So that definitely plays a role with our body confidence and what we feel we look like or how we should look like.
Yeah. So do you find that most of your clients come to you for that? Like,
I want to look like? What's the number one reason that people come to you?
Oftentimes they want to come to me because obviously they want to lose weight. They want to feel better in their clothes. They want to be able to look like they did prior to. So, you know, we go through different phases. We have, you know, we have our PMS period where we're just getting into having our period. So in our teenage years, when we finish school, when we finish university, so anywhere between 18, 21, again, our body is changing because our lifestyle is changing. When we have babies, when we're getting married. So all of these life phases that we go through, we have this vision of like, I want to look great in the dress, or I want to look great in the prom dress, the wedding dress, the whatever dress, the vacation dress. So there's always that image where there's a date and then I want to look good for that date. So that's that's high motivation, right? They're just like, okay, in the next 4 months or the next 6 months, I want to be able to feel good in the dress that I'm wearing or whatever clothes that I'm wearing or wherever I'm going. So that's often the motivator. Mm. And then of course, when they start coming to me, when we start talking about, you know, what are some of the challenges that have brought you forward to, you know, coming to me. And obviously it's, you know, they know that, you know, they have some challenges, whether it be eating, their exercise habits, their motivation, all of that plays a role with how they, how successful they are. So I often tell people, especially when they first start coming to see me, is I want you to understand your body. I don't care about what Marcia looks like over there. I don't care about what Marianne looks like over here. What do you look like right now? And where do you want to go? And oftentimes that's like a good 20 seconds of silence because they have no idea. Right. Mm-hmm. Then they start comparing themselves to where they were before. But if you think about where you were before, they're just like, well, I didn't even like myself then. So why am I thinking about myself then? Right. Like, so you kind of keep putting yourself in positions of where you weren't versus, you know, where am I now and what's my body doing for me now? And I think that's the challenge first.
Wow. That's so true. I can totally relate to that. I find myself doing that too. So when women come to you and they have this goal that they want to achieve, like, let's say it's they're getting married or whatever that thing is that they want to look amazing, look and feel amazing for, you said diet, exercise, is there general blocks that you're seeing as to why they're coming to you because they don't know how to do it themselves? Like, what are those things that are preventing them specifically? Like, can we break some of those key ones down in terms of why someone would come to you and be like in frustration, or you're the first point of call because they know these are the hurdles? Like, what do you see as the common variables?
Number one is that big myth about exercising more and eating less. Right. So we think that our body works like a calculator. They're like, okay, I know that I eat too much, I need to exercise more. So if I eat less and exercise more, then everything should be fine. I should be able to lose weight, right? So that's the biggest myth. And oftentimes when they come to me, that's what they've already tried. They're like, okay, I'm doing all the cardio, I'm eating, you know, 1200 calories and I'm getting fatter, or I'm not losing weight and I'm stuck. And it starts with that first limiting belief or that mindset of I need to eat less and exercise more. So if you think about it, okay, so let's say you're exercising more, you're on the cardio machine and you lose, you know, you're looking at the calorie counter. It's like, okay, I burnt off, 300 calories and I ate, you know, 800. Okay, now I need to burn off another 700. You can't work that way. The body doesn't work that way. However, there is a fact that you have to restrict calories to lose weight, right? But that's like one statement. That's just like, you know, I need to, you know, I need to dress this way to look that way. That's not the one statement that's going to get you there, right? So yes, you have to restrict calories. However, what are you consuming that's helping you lose weight, right? So you want to be able to look at your body and say, okay, I know that I need to change the way I eat. I need to change the way I live. I need to change the way that I move, but what is my body needing to get there, right? So let's say for yourself, you're like, I feel great when I, you know, go on the bicycle. I want to lift weights and do these certain types of exercises. So if you're telling me that, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to do what Marcia does. I'm going to go on the cardio machine for 45 minutes. I'm going to do her exact same program, which is what a lot of us do, right? We look at magazines, we look at workout programs. I'm going to follow her and my body's going to look exactly like her. And then as soon as it doesn't happen, we're frustrated, we're pissed. And we're like, what the hell? Why is it not happening? Right. And then of course you're stressed out. So again, that creates another piece of it.
Sorry, I have to interject there because what you said is exactly like what happens in healing too, right? Because you read one book or you listen to one teacher or you go to one coach that has a specific methodology and you're like, you want their results. And you know that saying like success leaves clues. So people want to follow the exact recipe. And it's like, you are a different being. And so you have to tailor it to you. And I like a light bulb moment went in my head as you spoke, where I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I never translated that and transferred that into like health and fitness. Right. Because I actually believe that myth of you eat less and you exercise more. Like it's simple math. Like I was like, that's like so basic. And when you were talking about the different stages of life, like I definitely noticed that, like when I was in university, I could eat like the jumbo size of peanut M&Ms and like pasta and everything in the middle of the night. And I was so tiny. And now I eat so well and I feel like the weight is kind of stuck. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm doing like, I'm eating less. And so that makes so much sense. So I'd love for you, like, I'm going to go a little bit deeper here because I could like feel the questions of, okay, well then is it what do I need to eat, to give my body the fuel that it needs? Because I'm assuming that all calories aren't equal, right? So you can't have this, just because you're eating 1,000 or 1,200 calories, it's what consists in those calories. So I'd love to go a little bit more into that in terms of giving the women listening like just some tips in regards to, and again, following on to your statement about, you know, all of our bodies are different and that it's probably better to consult specifically with a trainer or a nutritionist or someone to support you. But if we were to give more blanket recommendations, like what would you say in terms of diet?
What would I say in terms of diet is to first track how you're eating now. Because what you do want to know is oftentimes you kind of pay attention. You're like, oh, I'm not like, I'm only eating like 600 calories a day because I'm running on coffee and I'm only eating snacks in the day. And then I'm just eating some whatever at nighttime or, you know, and like I said, I'm going to go back to, like you said, there's a lot of parallels to, how it is when it comes to healing. Your experiences and my experiences are completely different, but the foundations of how to address the healing are the same. Right. So there's certain steps that you have to go through. You have to understand it. But as you're processing that, you have to know, okay, here's a principle number one, but how does that relate for me? And how do I integrate that information into my life? Right. So when you're looking at, you know, like I said, that calorie counter, when you think calories, you know, have eat less calories and exercise more. Yes, what is the calories that you're consuming? But I can eat an apple and be great, and you can eat an apple and be bloated, right? So that kale, like everybody's just like, kale is important, eat kale every day, blah, blah, blah. And I have clients that constantly tell me that like, I can't eat kale. It gets me bloated. I feel sick. I don't feel good. It doesn't feel good inside. I've tried cooking it in different ways. I've tried doing all these things. So all that pieces of information is going to tell you how your body is responding to that type of food. So oftentimes what you want to do first is assess, right? So what am I eating, you know, on a work day, on a weekday, and how is my body responding to what those foods are? And it's really tuning into paying attention to what that is, right? Because like you said, or like we know, it's like, okay, this triggered me, but you don't really process it until a few days after. You're like, okay, well, this is what happened. It's the same with food. And oftentimes when you think, oh, it's what I ate last night, or it's what I ate. No, oftentimes it's what you ate a couple of days ago. Your body's now digesting it. And now it's like, oh, I'm bloated. Oh, I have a zit in my face, or I have a rash over here. Where did that come from? I have no idea. What did you eat? I don't know. I can't remember what I ate 3 days ago. So all of these things, your body's trying to slowly tell you, like, pay attention to me. I'm trying to tell you something, but we're not paying attention to it because we're not paying attention to what we're eating. And what we only do as our marker of success is step on the scale, right? We're not paying attention to, oh shit, like I only lost 1 pound. But all these amazing things are happening. You've got more strength, you've got more energy, but you're totally ignoring that because you're paying attention to the one success factor, which is the weight, which is not that it's not a good thing to focus on, right?
I love that. I really love that because it's true. It's like sometimes we get so tunnel vision to the goal or the thing that we want to achieve that we don't see all the good that's coming out of something. Like we see this in manifestation too. It's like, yeah, but I wanted like the $1 million. Yeah, but you got that client and you had that and you had this and you won that and you got a discount here. And we're so fixated on the thing that we assume that it's a failure if we haven't achieved that. And I think as women, we do that to ourselves so much when it comes to our bodies. And yeah, I think the strength of it is so important too. It's like, do you want to be skinny or do you want to be like thriving and healthy and strong? And I really saw this transition in myself from like maybe around 21, 22, where I just wanted to be skinny at all costs. Like that's all that mattered to me. And I could do it really quickly. My body responded really quick. If I wanted to drop weight, it was so easy for me to do that. To now, I'm like, I don't want to be skinny. I actually want to be really strong and I want to be toned and I want to be really energized.
Yeah.
So I think like our priorities change as well. And so touching on you said someone can eat an apple and feel amazing and someone else can eat an apple and feel bloated. That never even crossed my mind.
All food is information, right? Just like how you'd say like all triggers is information, right? It's there for us to understand why our body or our minds are responding the way that it is. So when you have, when you're eating and then you start paying attention, and this is what I always tell people, I'm like, anytime you put a fork to your mouth or use something that's going to remind you, I usually tell people ABC. So A is activate your awareness, right? What's happening around me? What's going on? Why am I eating? Just kind of activate and kind of just take a look at where you are in that moment. And then B is breathe deep, right? Just kind of breathe deep, get into what's happening, get present. And then C is to start chewing slowly. Now, how many times have you eaten and you're chewing slow? Because I know many times we're kind of like, you know, especially you, I know you're a mom of two, many moms are like, they're eating their children's food and they're running around and they're stuffing food in their mouth. So you're just constantly throwing that food inside. So there's so many reasons why we're not losing weight. And that's oftentimes it starts with how are we eating, right? Are we aware of what we're doing? Are we even breathing are we kind of paying attention to what's going on? And are we chewing slowly? Because if you start paying attention to that, you're like, oh shit, I didn't even chew my food. Like I just swallowed left and I don't even know what I'm doing right now. Like,
oh my God, I feel like you just called me out. Yes. So, so I find that, and I had to check myself the other day because I was like, for me, it's a self-love practice or a lack thereof, right? I'm like not showing myself self-love when I am like eating my kids' scraps, when I'm eating at the kitchen counter and not even at the table. Like I don't even sit down for a meal. I'll be like eating on the go. And I was like, do I want to do that? That doesn't actually feel good. So I don't know. I'm totally with you in that your body is always communicating with you. And so for me, maybe my body is telling me like, slow down a bit with the food, like actually slow down. As you said, I love that the ABC to really, cause it's just forcing you to be totally present and being super conscious of what you're actually putting in your mouth. That's probably why we can't remember what we ate a couple of days ago, because we weren't even present in the moment.
100%. I even ask people what they had for breakfast. They're like, what the hell did I have for breakfast? And I'm like, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You had no idea what you ate. Or they realize they didn't eat at all. They're just like, oh, it's like 2 o'clock and I haven't even eaten yet. It's crazy. And like, you don't really pay attention until the question is asked, right? Or, you know, like, or, you know how it is. Like when you start journaling your food, you're like, oh, I didn't realize I ate that, or I'm snacking, or you start focusing on eating better because you know that you have to write it down, right? Because you have to be aware now. But if we can be aware all the time, then we can make better decisions at the moment versus after the fact, when we start judging ourselves again, we're like, oh crap. Like then you get into this mindset of like, why did I do that? And you don't want to get there, right? You want to get to the point of like knowing what you're doing and then making changes at that moment.
I love that. Okay. So myth one was that exercising more and eating less will help you lose weight. That is a myth. Do we have another myth?
Another myth is that people think they can just lose weight by being in the gym and everything else outside doesn't matter. Right. So for example, when it comes to metabolic dysfunction, I bring this up all the time, but stress, sugar, and sleep are the three main factors of stubborn weight loss. So sugar. When I have stress, sugar, and sleep, right? So sugar, we have an idea about, but stress and sleep are often not thought of as factors to weight loss. So when I ask people, I'm like, did you sleep well last night? Have you slept well at all? Think about shift workers, those who work the graveyard shift. They eat the same. So they say, like, it's, you know, they eat the same. They're doing the same things. Nothing has changed except the fact that they've moved everything, kind of switched everything over. Well, that messes up your whole system because all the hormones that help you stay asleep, get rested are all now being switched over and your body's trying to figure out how to balance that. And oftentimes what it does is it balances by changing the way that you feel hungry, changes the way that you feel full. And clearly it creates stress in your body, right? So anytime that happens, what you're finding is that your body's always doing what it's supposed to do. It's trying to keep you alive. It's trying to take care of you, but it's not going to care about what you look like. Right? All it cares about is keeping you alive. And you know, you talk about this as well when it comes to survival and thrive, right? Surviving and thriving. So when you're looking at stress, there's a number of things. There's digestive stress. So, you know, we bring it up all the time. A lot of the times when people aren't losing weight, it's often because their gut is not happy. And that can be many things. It could be the food that they're eating, the toxins that are being consumed. It could be the health of the gut, right? Are there ulcers or open areas and sores? Then there's stress externally. What products are we putting on our body? What kind of air are we breathing? What are we putting on top of our body, on our skin? Because our skin also plays a role with absorbing a lot of these things, right? So if you think of products that we use, the lotions, the shampoos, all of that plays a role with how our body is processing it. Our liver is helping us get rid of a lot of fat. And if it's constantly in toxic overload, it's having a hard time to get rid of everything. So what our body does, instead of trying to get rid of it fast enough, if it's not doing it fast enough, it's going to store it in our body fat. And that's when it gets toxic. So oftentimes when people are starting to lose weight, so I'm not sure if you've heard this, but like when people start keto, and they start eating a little bit better than what they're eating, then they get a flu, right? They're like, I don't feel so good. I feel achy. My joints hurt. It's because your body's trying to get rid of that fat, and that fat is toxic. So if you're not getting rid of that fat fast enough, it's going to start hanging around in other areas of the body, whether it be your joints, you start getting headaches. It's just like when you do any kind of detox, right? Your body's trying to figure out what the heck's happening, but it's releasing some stuff. And if you're not taking deep breaths, if you're not peeing enough, if you're not pooping enough, and if you're not sweating enough, it's going to still circulate in your body, right? So it's not going to get out of your body fast enough if you're not finding ways to do that.
Oh my God. So with the keto, whoa, it's like you don't think of these things, but it makes so much sense. And to think about how much, external things and stuff we are putting into our body and being so not conscious of it, like the water that we're drinking, the all the products, you know, yeah. Even like
if you think of how many times we're being forced to put a hand sanitizer now, like everywhere we go. Like, you know how toxic that is if it's not clean, a clean product. So constantly we're smelling that, we're putting that on our skin over and over and over again. And our body's like, I need to, like, we need to get rid of this. It doesn't, we don't like it. How much more are we going to take in our body before it starts saying, I've had enough? So then it starts gaining weight and starts holding on to body fat. Then it gets stubborn, right? So your metabolism starts slowing down because it's not working as efficiently as it should. So like you said, when you're in your 20s, you can do all these things because your body's like efficient. It's young still. It knows what to do to get rid of it. But if, as you're doing it year by year, you're adding more stress, life changes, you're, you know, putting more toxins in your body, you know, whether we know it or not, all those things change. And then, you know, you're like, well, I'm 40 now. Why are things not working as fast as it used to when I was 20? Well, 20 years of, you know, doing certain things is going to do something to your body. So it's not going to work as quickly as it did when you're in your 20s. So when you see a lot of those body transformation things, like the before and afters, and they're like, oh, I, you know, lost 8 pounds or eight, you know, whatever, how many pounds in like 8 weeks or whatever the case is, you see these huge transformations. And you know, that's where we get discouraged because you're like, well, how the hell did she lose all that weight? Well, she might be in her 20s. So take a look at that. She might have been already, you know, quick to lose it, but try to get a 50-year-old to have a transformation within that time period. You're not going to see very many because it doesn't take that. It's not that quick. It doesn't happen that fast.
That's so crazy. You know, like we all have just come to, you know, it's a common knowledge that like, as you get older, it's a little bit harder to lose weight. You tend to put on weight. Like I don't know that many people that are like the exact same size at like 50 as they were at like 20. And you know, your mind, if you're not aware and if you're not educated in this space, just goes, okay, yeah, your metabolism slowed down, but it's not just a natural part of aging. What you're saying is that it's our lifestyle decisions that are impacting our body's ability to digest its food properly, but also just get rid of the toxins that we are absorbing on a day to day. And when it gets so fatigued, it basically begins storing extra fat. And what I loved that I wrote down that you said was that your body is always just like doing its best. And that's just it. I think so many of us as women, especially you and I have talked about, and we've discussed this in our programs where it's like, as women, like we've waged this war on ourselves and we like have learned to hate our bodies. And we know that some of this is conditioning and societal programming about what we're supposed to look like as women. But I think just like coming back to remembering that our body is here to serve us. Like our body isn't doing anything bad. Our body is doing the best it can with the decisions we're making. Like, yeah. I think it's just really about taking that responsibility. That's, yeah,
like definitely. It's the same question that you had posed the challenge on. And it was great because I bring it up with my clients too. It's like, what is this doing to protect me from? Like, what is this doing to protect me from, right? What is this thought doing? What is this action doing? How is my body protecting me from something? Is it like, what is it doing? So it's like, you know, when we eat, you know, it's oftentimes a comfort measure, or sometimes when you don't eat, it's a control thing. There's many reasons why we eat or not eat the way we do. And we have to dig into, we have to get a little bit deeper as to why that's happening. So oftentimes you're like, just give me the plan, just give me the workout plan and I'll follow it. I'm just like, well, no, we're not going to do that because I want you to tell, you're guiding me too. We have to guide each other. So I can only give you tips. So you have to start paying attention to what's happening when you're doing certain things so that we can tweak it and pivot when we need to. But it's you understanding how your body is responding to certain things. It's not me to tell you to do these exercises. Like, yeah, I'll tell you to do these exercises, but you still need to tell me the next day, how's your body feeling? What happens? Like, you know, where's, you know, just kind of give me some feedback as to what's happening. And then it will help guide you know, oh, like, oh, my body really loves, you know, this thing. I'm like, okay, that's fine. So this goes back into your body shape, because you have to understand your body shape. And this is not talked about enough, because oftentimes you're like, oh, you know, the biggest question that comes up is like, well, what weight should I be in at my height? You know, where should I be? How much should I weigh? You know, once they get on the scale, they're like, oh, I want to lose 20 pounds, but how much weight do you think I should be right now? I don't know. I have no idea. Your body doesn't know either. It's still trying to figure it out. It does have some areas where it's comfortable, where it's used to being a certain weight. But this is where people are like, okay, well, it won't go past here. I need to lose 5 more pounds. This is where understanding your body plays a role, because then you can be like, okay, I'm just going to tweak this one little thing. And I always go back into experimenting, right? You're always wanting to go back to experimenting with certain things. That's why people like doing different diets. They're like, oh, I lost 20 pounds when I was in the keto, but I gained 30 pounds when I finished. Well, what happened there? Well, I started eating back to the way I used to, blah, blah, blah. So you have an idea of what to do to get back there. But there's so many other factors that play a role that I want people to start paying attention to, right? But there's so many things to dig into there. At any time, there's this, you know, when you start having, when it starts getting to the point where it's so stubborn, you're like, well, I'm eating, I'm doing what you're telling me to do. I'm eating what you're telling me to do. I'm still not losing weight. Okay, so the next step now is maybe there's a nutritional deficiency or a metabolic dysfunction. So now we have to take a look at your blood work. What information there can we find out? Is it thyroid? Is it cortisol? Is it estrogen dominance? This is where we start have to paying attention to our hormones. And women like love this, right? Because I'm just like, we're always having to deal with our hormones. It's a never-ending story about what we need to figure out, right? But you do have to start taking a look at your health markers once that point comes where you're like, I've tried everything. I'm not sure what I'm doing. Let's try, you know, we need to take other steps to go there. But you really have to start focusing first on where's my mindset around how I'm taking care of my body. Because if you're forcing it, if you're trying to get into there, it's you're going to have, you know, this too, like it comes with healing. It's like, you're always going to come through a wall because there's something that's blocking you from getting to where you want to be. And that's often a mindset.
Oh my gosh. So with the body shape part, do some women just have a completely unrealistic desire in terms of what they want their body to look like? Or is it like you're actually perplexed as well as it's like she should be dropping that weight and now we need to go a little bit deeper and do the blood work and the thyroid and all
sometimes. Yeah, I think first it's the person understanding their body shape. So, you know, the easy way to remember your body shapes is like you're either a pear, an apple, hourglass, or a rectangle, right? And so if my body shape was a pear, let's say, but I want to look like, you know, like an hourglass, there's going to be problems there. And you're already stumped. You're like, I want to look like Marcia. I want her body. I want to look like that. Meanwhile, mine is an apple shape and yours is an hourglass shape. So everything that you tell me that you're doing, I might follow, but I'm like, why am I not doing that? Why is her program different from mine? That always comes up, right? Like, or why is hers different from mine? And that's where I'm just like, you're too focused on the outside part. You have to focus on what's happening inside. So if I tell you that your body shape is this, Marcia, but here are the 10 things that you should do for your body shape. And if you're like, well, I don't want to do these things. A lot of the times when when you kind of start figuring out yourself, you're like, you can look at me and you're like, okay, Marianne, you need to change these areas because you have a common, you know, archetype, because I know that these are some of the guidelines around what your thought processes are. And I'm like, I don't want to deal with that. Like, I don't want to address that piece. And it's like, well, that's going to be what's going to help change you. So for example, for someone that's like an hourglass body shape, we all love that body shape, but the struggles that they have is gaining weight in their arms and gaining weight in their legs. They have stubborn body weight all over, but no matter how big or small they get, they'll always be an hourglass body shape. But they go hardcore in cardio. Like they're always like, that's a common trait for someone who's hourglass. And I'm like, you have to chill in the cardio and start just moving a little bit slower, manage your stress. And let's take a look at how you're eating. And they're like, I don't want to do that. I love my cardio. I feel great. Like, you know, so that already plays, you know, you get that resistance. You're like, why is she telling me to do that? But it's important to start paying attention to that resistance, right? Because what got you here won't get you there, right? We know yes. that already. So we need to make some changes. So, you know, entertain me. Let's try something different. So it's up to them how they decide how it changes, right?
That's so interesting. Do you find women in general really love their cardio? Like I find that it takes me a minute to really go and do the weights because I'm just more comfortable doing cardio. Like I'll do the bike and I just up my resistance and I'm happy there. You get like the high, you know, the high from it. You just feel amazing. And then when it's time to go the weights, I'm like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
I know it's what I need because I carry a lot of weight like in my arms. That's where in my arms and like since having Luca, like more around my bottom of my stomach. And mm-hmm. it's, and not to sound crazy, but it's getting out of control. And I know for some people that would be like,
yeah.
you know, that'd be like, oh my gosh, that's so crazy to say that. But for me, right? For me, for it's sure. like, I've never dealt with this before. So that's really interesting that you say how the, is it the different body shapes that require a different exercise regime or?
Both exercise and eating. It's all different. Like everybody has to understand where their body shape is so that they can understand how they need to eat. So for example, like intermittent fasting. So for someone who's an hourglass, but like, so some people are like, I love intermittent fasting. I don't want to eat after like for 16 hours, blah, blah, blah. For some body shapes, it's great. And for some other body shapes, it's not. For some people, it's great. Some people, it's not. So we have to test it and see like, okay, you've done it for 3 months and you haven't budged weight. But I love intermittent fasting. Like I love it in my schedule, blah, blah, blah. Like, well, let's try something different because your weight hasn't changed. Right. So oftentimes that comes up and it's just like, well, this is what everybody else says. Like, you know, so this is where that external piece comes in. And it's like, until they can start looking at what is my body doing? And I know that you stress this all the time and I tell this all the time, but you have to pay attention to how your body's responding. And oftentimes you don't want to look at that. You're like, oh, well, she's doing that. So I need to change this in my program. Or sometimes they'll be like, well, she has more leg workout programs than mine. I love my leg workouts. I'm like, I know you do, but you have great legs and you have a great butt. We need to work on your upper body so that if this is the shape that you want, blah, 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 right? So oftentimes what we have to do is what we don't like to do. So you're right. In terms of the cardio, like lots of women love their cardio. It's meditative. You get that runner's high. You can zone out and do whatever you want. You can listen to a podcast, read a book. You can do all these multitasking things, which is oftentimes why we love doing cardio, is because we could do other things instead of focusing on the actual exercise. But, you know, again, are we present with what we're doing with our body, right? You know, or are we just doing it because we want to zone out and know that we have to do it, right? So we kind of have to find out what the purpose of it is. So sometimes I'll have clients who are like, don't touch my wine and don't touch my cardio, right? Like that's what they'll tell me. I'm like, okay, that's fine. We'll leave that alone, but here are some changes. So it has to be something where you're willing to make that change, but you have to also be willing to take a look at how is this, you know, what is the body giving me feedback on? Because that's if you want to hack, it's paying attention. That's amazing.
Yeah. And do you find that, like you were saying that, you know, you'll try something, you'll try it for 3 months. And if you're getting results, great. If you're not, you pivot and you try something else. Do you find that when you find something that works for a client, is that something that they'll carry on for a longer period of time until maybe like their next life phase? Or do you recommend like evolving and changing, not more proactively and less reactively, if that makes sense?
Yes. Yeah. So I think, you know, once you start knowing how your body's responding to the way it should, like, you know, like it's going the direction that you want, oftentimes, just like any other habits, we kind of fall back or we, you know, start kind of going back to old habits. But once you know how your body is, you're like, okay, I know that I started eating breakfast, you know, I started eating cinnamon. Like this is, for example, I give my mom, right? So she would have, you know, eggs and like a coffee with less sugar in it. And like, you know, she'd lose her belly fat. She felt her energy was back. Her mood was good. And then, you know, one day she'll have a cinnamon bun and she'll have her coffee and like, she'll like, oh, I feel sluggish. My sugar's back up again. Find ways to be able to give yourself markers to know that you're going off track. So for example, your energy is often the big one. Energy, cravings, and hunger are usually what's going to tell you, where that you need to make change, right? You're like, oh, now I'm feeling more hungry. Like now I've added these extra exercises and I'm feeling more hungry. My energy is lower. Well, then we need to take a look at your food, right? So we have to figure out how that's going on. But, you need biofeedback. You have to find ways to give yourself information. Cause I think once we start letting go of it, you're like, oh, I lost the weight. I feel good. I'm going to start eating a little bit here and there. Oh, I'll just have a little bit of cake there, a little bit here. Weight is often the one that we go back to tell us whether or not we're on the right track, and it's not the weight. Right. And that's where we fall back to going back into, oh, I gained 5 more pounds again. I need to, then you get back into those old habits. Like you catch yourself, you'll be able to be like, oh, I'm going to eat less and exercise more again. Well, wait a minute. That's not what Marianne told me, or like, I remember my body liked it when I did this, then you can start making change. You're like, okay, I'm back on track, right? So once you know yourself, then you can start staying on the same path better, or you catch yourself faster.
Yeah. And it's a slippery slope, damn it.
It is. Yeah.
It's a slippery slope. It is. Because this was my slope. My slope was usually I eat really well. Like I eat really well, like good water. I stay really hydrated. I don't really drink coffee. I don't drink alcohol at all. And yeah, I just try to eat as clean as possible. But my kids really love chips and croissants.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then I find myself at the freaking bakery every couple
days.
I'll just
buy an extra croissant.
Yeah, and I'll just
have... Luca wants an extra one later.
Or Luca, you're not going to finish that? Okay, I'll finish that. And I'm like, what am I doing? I, like, if I had carbs, it was always more complex carbs. Like, I wouldn't have... I didn't typically have a lot of pasta. I found myself eating more pasta. I never had croissants or any of that. So maybe on the rare occasion, but now I'm finding myself eating it a lot more, and it's definitely impacted my energy. And of course, as you said, it's like the later marker is the like weight gain. And it's so interesting, and I'm really glad that I'm sharing with you now so that everybody can see that we all have our thing, you know, like we all have our strengths and we all have like our weaknesses, let's say.
For sure.
And one of my challenges for me has always been just to really maintain my optimal, like body shape and physique and that. And so for me, this has been like a struggle of the last couple of months where I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I'm so not disciplined, but I'm a very disciplined person. What's happening, you know? So I'm really glad we're having this conversation about that. So let's just talk a little bit, unless you have any other myths that you want to dispel.
Yeah, okay. That was the main part. I think the main, like you said, you brought it up where it's just like, yeah, I always eat clean. I know that I do that, but yes, we are going to fall back into habits. And when that happens, it's easier said than done, I know, but it's, basically what you do is just accept it, right? Like embrace the fact, or if you're going to eat the croissant, savor the flavor. I always tell people that. I'm like, when you're eating something that you know you're not supposed to eat, the motion that you're putting towards that food is going to impact your weight, right? So if you're eating the croissant, savor it, let it melt in your mouth, like enjoy it completely, because you, in your mind, you're like, I know I shouldn't be having this, but this is so good. I'm just going to savor the moment. Because if you're eating something, you're like, I shouldn't be eating this. This is not really good. Then you get into like, oh, fuck it. I'm just going to go like eat some more and I'll start again tomorrow. Right. Like you don't want to go down that path. You want to be able to savor and be like, okay, I got my fix. I'm good. I'm going to eat healthy the next meal. Right.
Girl, then you're done. Called me out again.
Trust me, my weakness, I'll share mine. Mine is popcorn, right? So in Costco, they have this freaking huge Boom Chicka Pop popcorn. And my mom will buy it for me like every so often when it goes on sale. And I'm like, why do you do that? Because I won't stop eating that bag until it's done. Like until my hand is in that bag, I can sit like all day and eat the popcorn all night. And the bag has to be finished. It can't stay in my house. It has to be gone. And I'll eat it in one sitting. It's not going to be able to sit in a snack bar and like, oh, I'll just eat it whenever I feel like popcorn. No, it has to be gone. Like it has to leave my house. And that means me eating it.
But oh my gosh, that's so funny because like when you were saying like to savor, it makes so much sense, you know, like, and we know this, like the energy in which you do something is, you know, will impact the outcome of the behavior, the act or the activity, whatever you're doing. But when I'm doing it because I know I shouldn't be doing, I'm like doing it with so much guilt. I'm like stuffing my face and I'm like, I shouldn't be. And it's like, I'm zoned out. I'm like doing it quickly. I'm like, nobody can see me eating this croissant. Like as I'm like running and like yes. picking up Luca. So it's so like, it's
true.
So true. And wow. But that's so good. Like I'm going to really bring myself into the present moment and just allow myself to enjoy it. If I'm going to do it, to enjoy it. And I think once I bring myself to be present enough, I might not even want it. It's because I'm so distracted that I'm just like, let me just hurry up. I'm like that with like chocolate. That's why I don't like to buy it at all. Yeah. Like I like to my house to have nothing because the moment it's in my cupboard, it has to go, mostly because I don't like seeing it in my cupboard. I'm like, so if I don't want to see
it, put it in my mouth.
I'll put it in my mouth. Let me do everybody a favor.
Trust me, I know. And it's not isolated. You're not the only one that feels that way. And I think that's where, like I said, this is where we have to monitor our thoughts when we're doing things, right? It doesn't matter like if we're eating, if we're exercising, we want to be where we are because yeah, it's going to direct where the next step is going. So like I said, once you savor it and you're eating it and you're enjoying it, then you're like, okay, like it goes back to the cheat meal. I don't even like calling a meal a cheat meal. It's an earned meal. Right. So like if, you know, the people that say like on Saturdays is when we go on our cheat and we go crazy. Well, Monday to Friday or Sunday to Friday, you were doing really good. So call it an earned meal. Then when you're eating it, you're enjoying it. You're not eating because you're like, oh, I'm cheating. Like, this is great. I get to eat whatever I want. It's a different word even. Right. Like I'm cheating on myself. It's not a good way to speak about it. You want to be like, I earned this. Like I earned this day versus
yes.
I cheated.
Oh, my right? God. What a powerful reframe, because you and I both know the power of our words and how we need to be so intentional. You're the one that got me to stop saying good morning. When someone says good morning to me now, I'm offended.
Yeah,
it is grand rising.
Like, it's okay. You don't know. Yeah.
It's grand rising. Yes. And so that makes so much sense. Why would you want to have a cheat meal? Like, it's inert. I love that. I'm definitely going to be using that now. It's an earned meal. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then what's your take on like specific diets in general, like taking into account that people have different body shapes and stuff, but is there any that you do recommend and that you find are?
Not really. I usually say do the diet that works for you. Right. So, and this goes back to, again, like you might've tried 10 different diets and you're like, I really did well on the keto, but I didn't do well on like the eating fats only, or something, you know, some other kind of diet that's come up. Okay. So let's try to incorporate some of that, because it might not be everything. And you know, like even people, when they say I'm on a keto diet, it can be fried food, lots of oil and butter, versus someone who's eating like a lot of vegetables, you know, dense on the nutrients, but they're both keto. Right. So we don't know, like, I can't tell you go on a keto diet and that's going to work for you. So what diet works for you? So let's look at your past and find out, what did you like? What did your body not like? And that's kind of, again, it goes back to the assessment. So you want to find a diet that does work for you. And that means, again, paying attention to how you're eating, how you're moving, what your lifestyle is, because right now you might be like, okay, this is my work hours, Marianne. I work this hours and these hours. 2 months down the road, you might get a job and now you're working night shift. That diet's not going to work for you anymore. You have to change it over, because you've made a change in the way that you're working. Your lifestyle is changing. Just like when you have a baby, you're like, I was fine with baby number one. These are all the things that I did after baby number one. And I was successful in this area. Now baby number two came. I'm trying to do the same thing and it's not working. Well, hello, like you just had a second baby. There's a whole another set of hormones that are in your body. And number two, you've got two babies. You're not with one baby, right? So how are you eating that way? So we can try those things. And then again, just how is your body responding to that? Did it work? Did it not? Then let's kind of work through those areas. So I don't necessarily recommend a diet. I always say, drink lots of water, focus on eating clean foods, which is, you know, and again, that varies for everybody. So just eat cleaner based on what we know, what you're eating now. And then stress and sleep. How are those in your life? If stress is a huge factor in how your sleep is not being managed well, then you're screwed, right? We have to fix those areas.
Thank you so much for taking the time to be with me today. If you love this episode, please share it with someone. And if you're a longtime listener, it would mean the absolute world to me if you would rate and review this show on iTunes. I love you so much, and I can't wait to connect with you on the next episode. And remember, it's not only possible to have it all, it is your birthright.